Hello, everybody, and welcome to Kentucky Ag Matters, a podcast designed to inform and educate both producers and consumers about all matters affecting agriculture. On this week's show, Jay, David, and Vicki visit with Ms. Nikki Ellis, Executive Director of the Kentucky Pork Producers. And as always, we'll wrap things up with this week's timely tip. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope you enjoy the show. Well, hello, everybody.
Hey, Jay.
Good morning, Jay.
How's everybody doing this morning?
Doing good. Had a good drive up early morning, and we are on the road again here in Hardin County, and recording a few podcasts to get us through the month of August because the state fair is coming up and our national meeting, and we've got a lot of traveling to do in the next 6 to 8 weeks, so we're trying to get ahead a little bit.
That's right. By the time this airs, we'll be a little bit ahead. We're recording this in the towards the end of July, but it'll actually run just not long before the state fair. So, sometime in August, we'll leave it at that. But David mentioned we're on the road. We're at the Hardin County Extension Office. Wonderful facility that they have here.
It is very nice.
It's expansive. If I had to think of, it's probably expensive too. If I had to think of a word, it's big.
It's nice. It really is nice.
But, you know, the thing about county offices, they are locally funded. They're not paid for by the University of Kentucky. And all they really need to do is meet the needs of that county. Mm-hmm. And when you're in a large population base and you have a lot of people to kindly meet the needs of and a lot of things going on, a lot of different activities, it takes a facility
space.
Like
yep,
this.
That's right.
And this facility is really nice, too, because it's big enough to hold a lot of different groups that cover the whole state.
Yep.
And you can kind of make it to where some folks are not traveling as far. And
yeah, it's kind of centrally located when you think about it. When you're talking about the Golden Triangle, for us in western Kentucky, the Golden Triangle is kind of the place to be. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is kind of centrally located for us to kind of make a drive up. And it can do it in a day.
Absolutely.
And it's not too bad.
It's accessible, too. It's right off the parkway, right off the West Kentucky Parkway. It's easy to get to. And it's right on the exit. So, I mean, it's nice for a lot of folks. You know, we say in extension we like to advertise that we have programs for everybody. That may or may not be the case depending on what you're involved in or interested in. But if nothing else, I've always felt like one of the things we can do with local groups is give them a place to meet. Mm-hmm. And having a facility like that, I think they certainly can check that box off. So.
I agree. And we appreciate folks letting us come in and record in their offices because this isn't the first one we've been able to travel and use the other offices, and we certainly appreciate that they let us do that. And
you know, that's probably one of the best attributes of a podcast in general. We like to be able to put this together where producers, consumers, whoever want to listen can take this on the go. They can listen in their car during their commute. They can listen in a tractor while they're planting soybeans, just wherever they want to. They've got that ability. The flip side of that is we can take this show on the road and do it just about anywhere.
That's right.
We could do it outside. We could do it in the field if we wanted to. So.
And we have recorded at stockyards, and we've recorded in
hotel rooms.
Yeah, exactly. We have recorded just at a lot of places, but I think that's the thing we've talked about our podcast is. Is when we were talking about starting this, it was one of the goals was that we really wanted to make sure that it was conversational because that it's easy listening that way. And for us, it works well to do it in person. For others, it works well to do it other ways. But for us, it seems to be that this is how it works well for us. So,
yep,
we like that. Got a guest with us today. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning. Thank you all so much for having me.
Nikki Ellis is the Executive Director with Kentucky Pork Producers. Why don't you just start off, tell a little bit about yourself, your background, maybe how you came to that position and how long you've been there.
All right. Well, again, thank you guys for having me. It's always exciting, I think, to figure out everybody's background and where they came from and how they came to be. So I grew up in Lincoln County, graduated from there and went on to UK. I thought I wanted to be an ag teacher for about 5 minutes and figured out real fast that might not be for me. Still very passionate about youth education and involvement in things. Don't get that wrong. because my first job, I actually worked with the Kentucky Cattlemen's Association. Mm-hmm. I was the director of education there, worked primarily across the youth education space as well as some producer and consumer education pieces as well. While I was there, I got to work on some really neat things. Got to create the yards classroom there at Bluegrass Stockyards mm-hmm. in Lexington. That was a very, very neat thing to get to do. I don't know of anywhere else that has a classroom in a stockyard, so that was mm-hmm. very neat. Got to teach a cattle industry course there at the University of Kentucky for a few years. That very interesting. So I really got my feet wet there in association work, and, you know, I always have to thank Dave Maples so much for the time and the chance that he took on me and all that staff there to really train me up. Loved my time there, loved working with my producers there. But when Miss Bonnie Jolly announced that she was going to be retiring, a few folks came to me and said, you know, have you thought about going to pork? And you know, David, you know, I'm coming from the pork world, so it just kind of seemed to be a good fit, and mm-hmm. and the leadership, I guess they thought I was a good fit because they brought me on, and I've been here. It'll be 2 years, September 1st, as the executive director for the Pork Producers Association, and it's been a fun ride for the last 2 years. We've added lots of new things. But it's near and dear to my heart because, like I said, we've got hogs at home.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Brandon and Nikki have a show pig business, which a lot of people are familiar with, or a lot of our show pig folks will know who he is and know who Nikki is, and they do a fantastic job with that and helping younger people. And it's all about helping young people, isn't it, Nikki?
It really is. You know, we don't raise show pigs for money. Obviously, Brandon and I both work off the farm there. So it's really just something that we enjoy, not only as a family. And Brandon's family's done it. You know, he'll be the third generation, and we're raising the fourth generation on our farm. And all have been actively involved in showing hogs nationally. And that's something that, you know, as Brandon got older, he really envisioned that, you know, that's just a good business to get into. And you know, we have a production sale there every year in the spring, and we'll sell right around 100 head of hogs. About 50% of those will stay in the state of Kentucky, and, you know, a few of them will go outside. But it's just so rewarding to watch those families. You know, we get a lot of first-time families, and really watching them get into the 4-H and the FFA programs and learn and grow and figure it out, because, you know, livestock are just a great way to raise good kids. And that's just something I still thoroughly enjoy, whether it's my personal life or my professional life. Getting to see those kids grow and develop and go on. You know, I've seen so many of our customers go on and, you know, work in Washington, D.C. now, or they're in vet school, or they're teachers, mm-hmm. or their parents, and they're just doing such a great job. And again, I just think exhibiting livestock as youth is just so important.
Right.
We've talked about that before on this show, actually, about the showing livestock and how much you learn, how much those kids learn, responsibility, dedication, you know, showing up when you're supposed to, and even at a young age, learning that you might have to miss a home football game or a home basketball game because you've got other commitments that you have to do. And that too is something that you have to learn growing up, that you cannot do everything you want to do when you want to do it. Your schedule just doesn't allow. And when you get out in the real world, so to speak, and start adulting, it's a whole lot better if you figure that out when you're younger than wait till you're an adult to figure that out.
Oh, absolutely.
And caring for that animal it teaches you so much. And, you know, like I said, I've said many times, I didn't grow up. I grew up on a farm, not on a livestock farm, but I really enjoy watching the 4-H'ers that come through our office. And I'm always impressed with just how they handle themselves and the dedication that they have to do that. And the other thing that it always impresses me is that folks that grew up showing livestock, I mean, you all, it's almost like a family in itself, because you all know each other and you know, I don't know how many times, David, we've been at events or extension stuff, but you'll run into somebody that, you know, that was in showing when your kids were younger. And, you know, I think that's too, is just building those relationships and, and connections.
Well, it's funny you mentioned family, because Nikki's family and Brandon and Mr. Dale Ellis and Brandon's dad, Kevin, for years were in the hog business and the show pig business. And Mr. Dale was quite famous for his land race, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, sir.
You know, so they're multi-generation farm there. And, you know, we're just tickled to have people like that in the show pig industry. I mean, that to me is the epitome of the show pig industry, to have families like that that have been multi-generational involvement in that organization, for sure. So
and helping those, even and even though your kids aren't showing now, you're still helping in some capacity other kids.
Yeah.
And
some
other
people
families.
Probably like that, and some people don't.
We'll leave that alone.
That's right. That's right. Well, Nikki, I know that talk a little bit about the swine industry in Kentucky and kind of where we are right now. I know we used to be bigger than what we are right now, but I know we've still got several swine producers here in the state.
We do. We actually had an economic impact study done for the year of 2021. And I was so surprised by the findings of that. The National Pork Producers Council helped us put that together, and all this information is available on their website, mppc.org. But when I had to start really thinking about how many pork producers there were, you know, I was thinking maybe, you know, somewhere in the hundreds, you know, but I was vastly wrong. According to their information in the Ag Census, we have 1,805 pork farms in the state of Kentucky.
That's surprising.
That is very surprising. Now you know, if you get down to figuring out, you know, how many head that might be or whatever, obviously that varies. We've got about 15 farms that are 5,000 head or more. We've got 20 farms that fall between that 2,000 and 4,000 range. But you know, that leaves almost 1,700 that are lower than 2,000 head.
Right.
And I think that makes us very unique as a state. I think that brings unique opportunities to those producers, but also unique challenges and things as well. So we're a little bit different than some of the Midwestern states, but, you know, whenever you look at those numbers compared to some of our folks here in the Southeast, we are the leader in pork. Of course, if you take North Carolina out, we definitely have the most hogs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that. I mean,
I didn't either.
Good information.
Yeah.
Good information. So what are some of the programs that as pork producers that you run through your office or some of that? And maybe we can back up and talk about, you know, I know there was a little bit of rebranding when you came on board.
Yes, sir.
And I will tell you this, Dr. Richard Coffey told me, he said, they need her. So that's a good compliment for you.
Well, Richard Coffey was so good to me in my transition coming in, and I was so sad to hear when he was going to Oklahoma State. But I still bother him a lot, though, David.
Well,
I still call on him a lot.
Yeah.
But I've got a sticky note on my desk, and this is something that I'm pretty infamous for. If you say something that means something to me, I'm going to write it on a sticky note and put it on my desk. And there's one from him that says, "Don't be afraid to do hard things."
Yeah.
And that's I hold
I've heard
that
you say that before.
Yeah. I hold that very close to my heart, and I try to lead by that too.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going through some transition there. Just trying to bring in some of my new ideas, bring in some ideas that I've learned from some other states. My leadership has great ideas, and something that I always like to tell people, if you see me at the state fair, if you see me out at the local Mexican restaurant, come up to me if you got an idea, or if you like something, or even if you don't like something, because that's kind of hard. Change is hard, and I will give it to my board. I've brought a lot of change, and they've been very gracious and let me try new stuff, and we're coming along, and you know, whenever you talk about more of a rebranding process, really what we're trying to bring in right now is this idea of team pork. Whether you raise show pigs, whether you sell direct to consumer pork cuts, whether you are a grower for Tosh, no matter the size, we're all on the same team.
Absolutely.
We all have the same goals. And that's really what we're, our focus is going to be over the next couple of years, is how do we bring all these producer programs in to match the needs of everyone, but how do we still accomplish that one goal of having a safe and nutritious and delicious eating experience for consumers?
Well, I will have to give you and the board kudos for when you came back on, y'all got back involved in the youth livestock program.
Yep.
And we appreciate that. I think that was a great first step
right.
in the right direction. And, you know, it was good to see that, you know, I think, was it last year was the first year then everybody got a T-shirt that had Kentucky pork. Kentucky pork on it, and I mean, I thought that was a fantastic marketing idea. And then the rest of the fair, you saw kids walking around with these with these shirts on,
right.
And I mean, that was great advertisement. You know,
it is, and you know, we've got a whole new generation of kids and families that they're getting involved in the swine industry who maybe didn't know about the association and the opportunities and things that could happen. And that was just a very easy step forward, because not only is it good for those families and kids to know that we're there, you know, if you step back and look at the bigger picture, you know, one of the biggest problems that agriculture has right now is workforce. And what better way is it than to capture a young kid who's already passionate about hogs and say, hey, you know, come be a part of our association. Let's show you the whole gamut of opportunity there is for you to work in swine or pork. So we really see that as bridging the gap between, you know, your opportunity to work with hogs doesn't have to end at age 21. You know, you can go on and make a whole career out of it if you so choose, no matter what your talent might be.
I think a lot of folks miss that in agriculture in general. When they think about agriculture, they think farming.
Right.
And it's just not a realistic idea that everybody's going to be able to graduate from high school and go farm, whether your family was involved in farming or not.
Right.
But there are so many opportunities, whether it's with the pork producers, whether it's with, you know, a processing company, some of our major food outlets. There's lots of opportunities for kids to get involved in food production, involved in agriculture.
Oh gosh, yes. You know, we talk all the time about how we need food photographers, people who know how to stage dishes and take good pictures. We need those folks who are really into microbiology. You know what I mean? Because that's not me, but that's definitely important stuff. You know, we there's just a whole gamut. You know, we need graphic designers. We need kids who can communicate through writing. We need everybody.
Yep.
You know, we need even those kids that are really into coding and IT and you know, those folks that want to think big and be an entrepreneur. You know, we need new technologies and things. We need folks that are going to also bring industry and jobs back into agriculture in our state.
Well, I was going to say, you tap into the finance industry and ag lenders and all the different companies and banks that that need those folks as well.
Oh, yeah.
And public relations, too. Public relations is huge. And now it's not just, you know, back several years ago, it was writing articles and putting them in magazines and writing articles and getting those in newspapers. But now, you know, with social media, that is such a big platform that every industry and everybody uses now. And having folks that know how to put the information together to make it catch your eye, one, get the point across, one, but keep moving, because people don't have a lot of time they don't spend a lot of time looking at anything anymore.
Right.
And having folks in our ag industry that can tap into that and be able to take their talents that way, but keep agriculture at the forefront and agriculture awareness and certainly in with the pork producers and in any of those commodity groups, that's a huge market and it's a huge opportunity for some of these young folks that want to go into agriculture and if that is something that they're passionate about and something that they enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And have you got some new staff members at the Kentucky Pork Producers? Could you introduce some of those folks?
I have such an amazing team on our association side. You know, when I came in, I was a mighty army of one, a whole whopping one. And I quickly realized we have too much work to get done for it to only be one person. So I brought on Miss Emma Heimlich. She is our director of programs, which is very generic way of saying everything. But Emma's been with us for just over a year now. She really focuses in on all of our compliance things when it comes to the checkoff. She handles our marketing and advertising pieces. So, you know, if you see something in a magazine, you see something online, she handles our website. All of our social medias, we've talked about how important that is. And us being such a small commodity, you know, we have to manage our budget very well. And we have figured out to get the most bang for our buck. Digital and social media is really the best way for us to go.
Sure.
Whether that's producer or consumer communications. And she's been amazing, and I'll put in a plug for her, too, because she'll be mad if I don't. We've got the pork store now. So if you need some pork swag, we've got several things you can order there online. But that's been extremely popular. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, there's good stuff on there. Just in time for State Fair too.
But then
we've brought on Miss Kylie Trail as well. And she is handling all of our producer facing programs. You know, with really one of our top priorities being foreign animal disease preparedness. Through the pork checkoff, we've rolled out many, many programs to ensure our farmers be ready if or when that event happens. So she's hitting the ground running. She started June 1st, her first day. She was actually at World Pork Expo with me participating in a foreign animal disease tabletop exercise. So she just jumped in feet first and away we went. But she's the one who's really our boots on the ground, going and visiting with our producers every day to get them enrolled and help them understand what all we have available to them.
Right.
So we've, like I said, we've got our big army of three there, and we're just trying to make the biggest impact we can and be as resourceful for our farmers' dollars and give back the biggest ROI that we can.
Sure. You know, having a good staff is, I think, key. Nobody is good enough or big enough to do it all by themselves.
And exactly.
It's good you've built yourself a good team. I know related to the Kentucky Pork Producers, you also have a board that you work with. Can you talk just a little bit about your board and the members that make it up?
Yeah, I definitely can. So we have a board that a lot of those folks, they've been around the pork producers for many years. You know, our current president is Mr. Eric Hurd. You know, the Hurds are no stranger to the pork industry. Eric is an amazing president. He's involved on the national level across so many things. Actually just got back from Denver about 3 a.m. yesterday with him. And he's actually on a long-range visioning task force. That task force is looking at some really big things like how do we take our checkoff dollars or even our voluntary checkoff dollars that we're able to lobby with, and how do we reallocate that to places that it really needs to go. So he's a big thinker. We've also got Dr. Dennis Liptrap, who we know is just the wealth of knowledge and history. He's currently our vice president, but he likes to say he's the local historian as well. Then our secretary is Mr. J.T. Workman down from Western Kentucky, down around where you guys are from. And, you know, J.T.'s kind of the nutrient management guru of the swine industry in Kentucky. He likes to hang in the back and not really say a lot, but when he speaks, you're going to listen. He's just a wealth of knowledge. Our treasurer, we've got Ray Allen Mackey, again, another amazing ag leader here in the state of Kentucky. And then we've got several new board members that have come on, but some of our veterans, you know, we've got Mr. John Medley. We've got, oh gosh, I'm going to forget somebody. I'm going to get in bad trouble. we've got Jay Filiatri again, you know, a family that's been involved in the hog business for a long time. But our new faces, we've got Mr. Michael Cochran. His dad, Bill, was on the board for many years. Yep. I'm very excited to have him on. This is his first go-round. And then we also have Miss Annie Toll, who is actually on the procurement team with JBS. So she brings in this amazingly fresh look at everything.
And a different side to things, too.
And you know, with us here in Kentucky, having that JBS plant in Louisville, we have a huge responsibility, not just to Kentucky to have a good relationship, but as a region. Yeah. You know, they source hogs from everywhere, and that's so important that we have a great working relationship with them and have them aware of you know, all the programs and things that that they need to be a part of. Mm-hmm. So our leadership, they are excited. They're ready to try new things, and you know, I talk to one of them at least every day, if not multiple every day. And when you work for folks that are that excited and that passionate about farm families, myself and my staff, it makes it easy to get up and go to work every day.
I'll guarantee it. And we appreciate that fresh look. And the folks that came before you did an outstanding job, there's no doubt.
They did.
But, you know, it's great to have that fresh look. Every now and then you need to have a little change.
Yeah.
And make things a little bit different. And, you know, I appreciate you and Emma helping at the North American at the Swine Show, and I appreciate y'all stepping up and doing that, and the State Fair and all that. And Ryan Bivens, I saw a little something about Piglet.
Oh gosh.
On Emma. Now I'm Emma's not here, and I don't want folks to think she's here, but she's fixing to get married.
Yep, she is.
And but I just wondered what the story was behind the Piglet thing.
Oh boy. So when I came up, Mr. Ryan Bivens is a very good friend of mine. He's one that, it's another one of those friendships that I never saw coming, but I got it. You know, for a long time, it was just me. You know, first few months I was in this position, everybody kept saying, well, Batman, you need a Robin. You need a Robin.
Right.
I was like, well, yeah, I definitely do. Well, here comes Emma. And Emma is, she's probably one of the sweetest people you ever meet. Just
she
so
is.
Personable, and she's a great listener. And you know, she's just very, very in tune with folks. And, you know, and Ryan got to talking to her and got to know her, and he said, Piglet fits you. And I was like, oh no. And I said, why is that? And he said, well, her personality, she's just so nice, and da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
I was like, and boy, it stuck. Everywhere she goes, she is Piglet.
Well, it's good to know that. And I happened to see that on Facebook one day.
Oh, yeah.
He was commenting on one of your, I don't know, y'all were doing something, and wanted to know where Piglet was, and I picked up on who Piglet was, so I thought I would at least ask about that.
Oh, but, yeah.
You know, Nikki, we've had a lot of discussion, and of course, poultry is big down our way, too.
Yes, sir.
And we've had some AI outbreaks and had some pretty serious situations.
Yes, sir.
What are some of the things that are on the horizon for the pork industry, and what, you know, from a disease standpoint, what are some of the things that y'all are doing to combat that?
Right. So I will say it's very refreshing to be with people who are so forward thinking and care so much about preparedness. You know, the swine folks really watched how the poultry industry tackled, you know, all of the things that they've had going on, and have really picked up on how they made successes out of some of that. And with that, they've created several programs through the checkoff, so free things, you know, stuff that's really putting those farmer dollars back in farmers' pockets. Mm-hmm. And there are several different things, and they're all tied together. Let's start big. So the U.S. SHIP program, so the Swine Health Improvement Program, that's really looking at African swine fever, classical swine fever, and that's being modeled currently after MPIP, which is, you know, the poultry version of that, and we're actually, that was born through the pork checkoff and also through the National Pork Producers Council, so that voluntary checkoff that you can opt in and put some money into. And it's actually going through, this coming September, it'll be 3 years that they've started down on this mission. And we currently have a House of Delegates. Every state gets so many delegates. Kentucky, we get eight that represent all facets of the industry. So everything from a live market all the way to, you know, a grower, breeder, whatever it might be. And they're really the ones who are building together this framework to create an MPIP situation for the swine industry. So we're hoping, you know, right now that we're going to get to the point that where we can hand that off to hopefully USDA. Which I think is pretty smart. You're letting the farmers be in the steering wheel or be at the steering wheel to put the framework together, knowing what is it going to work. Because how many times have farmers been handed something and, you know, it's not very practical. But this way, I think they're at least trying to make that happen. So that's very exciting. And there's a lot of pieces that play into that, you know, so there's got to be a traceability piece. Well, you know, not all farmers have access to those traceability databases or technologies. You know, some of these smaller farmers, that's just a completely foreign concept to them, and rightfully so. So the Port Checkoff created what's called AgView. So AgView is a web-based system. You go in, you put in your premise ID. You put in, you know, you can put in all your health information, all your testing information. But the biggest piece is you can put in all of your movements, okay? Mm-hmm. So you can see who's going from here to JBS or if you're in the show pig industry, if you're going from here to the state fair and then where that animal goes after that. Mm-hmm. So it's fairly new. A lot of our larger producers already have that in use, and that's one of those things that Kylie's working on, as well as U.S. SHIP, like I had mentioned before. So again, that's something that we're also going to be rolling out pretty heavily throughout the fall, not just our commercial producers, but we're also going to begin to have that conversation with our show pig folks. But even before U.S. SHIP or even AgView, the first thing you got to do is you got to have a prem ID. And you know, a lot of these 4-H families or folks who are just getting into you know, maybe the direct consumer business, maybe you don't have one. And that's nobody's fault, but let us help you figure out how to get signed up for that. And you know, that's something that I try to always give, you know, Whitney, she'll reach out to me and say, you know, what programs, and she tries to bring it back to you guys and you know, the whole extension team. And over the last couple of years, those are things that I've kind of been feeding her to mention, but we're really ready to hit go now. So we'll be calling on you guys definitely over the next little bit, because we want you all fully educated to understand, because you all are the boots on the ground. You're the grassroots, and that's really who needs to understand all that. So be on the lookout for some communications from Kylie.
And, you know, we've all got a part to play in all of this, but the thing I like to get across to our show pig folks, and most of our commercial producers are already doing some of the things you're talking about, but our show pig folks are probably not doing some of those. And we all have a part. This whole African swine fever deal could be a bad deal if it ever gets a, you know, a foothold. And, you know, we have several large swine shows here in the state of Kentucky.
We do.
And we have the Summer Type Conference happens here in Louisville around July the 4th.
Yep.
And there are a ton of pigs that come in from all across the nation for that show. And then also the North American.
Yep.
You know, working with the North American, I know we get pigs from California. We get pigs from a lot of places that you wouldn't think about coming that far to a pig show. So I guess what I'm saying is we all have a part to play, and we need to, you know, to be sure to, you know, follow all of the protocols that they have for not spreading that disease and recognizing if we have a problem to just stay home.
Yeah.
You know, if we need to.
Yeah, and we all recognize, you know, and that's that's a very hard decision sometimes. You know, if you've got a sick pig and your kid's been working all year on this project and all that, and I'm a show parent, I get that. I very much empathize with that, because it takes a lot for a kid to get that hog to that point. But, you know, we also have to realize that if we're all going to play together under this Team Pork umbrella, we do have to make some hard decisions like that. Because it's something that I like to tell to our consumers and even, you know, some of our newer show pig folks, you know, less than 5 miles from that state fairground where North American and the Summer Type Conference and the state fair is, you have JBS, which is taking in almost 11,000 hogs every day. And those are trucks and trailers that are going back all over the world, all over the country. Yep. And we've got to play our part to be responsible. Because that could be just completely detrimental. But you know, I think if we all, again, play together under this Team Pork umbrella and we really listen to the Department of Ag from our state vet and take the lead there, and you know, I think we've got a good state fair staff that's very passionate about animal health. And I think every year we get a little bit better. But I do think there's a big responsibility there, and at the state fair this year, during the exhibitors meeting, that is, if Jason will okay it. I just figured out he's in charge today. We are going to start having some conversations there about how do you get a PRIM ID, or what, or sure, youth quality assurance, or all of these things that are coming down the pike, so that we can all do our part to be responsible. Right.
You know, as a PQA advisor, I have to do some of those. I have a couple of guys in my county that still raise pigs, and you know, and getting those youth started in that early, I think, is a big deal. And I think if you go to any extension office or get a hold of you folks at the pork producers, they'll be glad to help you get that PQA certification and get that out of the way.
Oh, definitely. Most certainly. And you know, whether you're, you know, a breeder, direct-to-consumer, or if you're a grower needing to get that, you know, reach out to us. We'll connect you with an advisor. But that youth quality assurance program, I'm a big champion for that, because whether you start out showing pigs and then you transition to rabbits, it's good for all species. You know, it's just a good training program, and you know, it's geared toward each age group. You know, every year you got to re-up, and it's a different deal year after year. So,
well, it's good to know that, and I'm going to borrow something from Warren Beeler that you know, we're just taking good livestock and making great kids.
You're exactly
and
right.
I appreciate the fact that the pork producers recognize that, and they are a champion behind that cause, and we certainly appreciate all that y'all do from that standpoint, and all that you're doing for the future of the pork industry.
Well, appreciate that.
I was looking on the website and noticed where you all have that junior membership.
We do.
And that's a wonderful thing. It's a really wonderful thing.
We're pretty proud of that. We, like I said, it's important to get those kids involved early and let them understand that, you know, no matter how old you are, you're part of the industry. It's not just you with one pig on your farm. You're part of the whole team.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's good to know that, because I did not know that. I did not know they had a junior membership, so that's great to know. And, you know, we'll be out there promoting that at the state fair for sure.
I was scrolling on my phone. I wasn't looking at social media or nothing. I was looking for...
Who was it that pointed me out, called me out yesterday, said I look like a teenager? I thought about that when I saw him doing that.
Yeah. I did that.
Well, you started out when you was kind of talking about how you got started, and education was where you... said you thought you wanted to be all of 5 minutes. Well, you may not be an ag ed teacher, but education is obvious that's passionate, that you are very passionate about education, and not only to one segment, but across the whole gamut. And I think that is really set you apart from other leaders, because to me, you know, there's leaders and then there's effective leaders. And there is a definite difference between a leader and an effective leader. And oftentimes that difference is being able to listen, being a forward thinker, but also just having that ability to bring different people together to accomplish a bigger goal. And just listening to you talk today, that is clearly something that you are passionate about and that the whole industry wide is going to benefit from that. And so, you know, kudos to you for what you're doing and having that mindset and just thinking forward of how to make the pork industry more successful and making it where it's accessible to so many people, to young kids, and how they can be involved and then all the way up to the folks that have been in the industry for 50, 60 years. So I appreciate your work on that.
Well, absolutely. You. And several times today I've heard you mention both producers and consumers. Mm-hmm. We have to remember that they're the other side of this equation.
Yep.
One does not exist without the other.
Exactly right.
And I know we've really only started into that venture in agriculture of making sure we do this consumer education. Really in the last 10 years, it's been a big, big thing across all of our commodities. But I feel like that is the key in making everybody be able to work together is educating those consumers as well.
Exactly. And our consumers, you know, we're dealing with a vastly different type of consumer than we were 10 or 20 years ago. You know, I'm 33, and my folks right now in my generation, they want it fast. A lot of times they want it delivered to their door. And you know, it's pretty daunting for you to go to the grocery store and, you know, pick up a whole pork loin and look at it and say, what am I going to do with this? So it's, we have a lot of work that needs to be done. But also I think it's also created an opportunity. You know, nobody likes talking about COVID anymore. I understand that. But I will say one good thing for the pork industry that happened is the consumer found ground pork. Yep. The sales of ground pork grew 300% and have maintained since COVID. So I think that's just a whole new venture that's out there is ground pork and sausages. So.
Well, you know, I had seen that figure before. And we know a lot of people make hamburgers. I wonder how many people were going home and making pork burgers or how many people were trying to make their own sausage at home.
Right.
Because I think there was a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I actually prefer pork burgers over hamburgers. I mean, and
Me
I
too.
Just, yeah, it's, they are really good.
And, yeah.
But, you know, and Jay always says, we never do this show when we're talking to somebody and get an idea for another show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think bringing you back and talking about consumers, and would
just
be
a consumer-driven show.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that would be something great for us to do in the future.
Oh
so,
yeah, I love talking food, so we can definitely do that.
Okay.
And the things that you all are doing for consumers,
right?
Right.
Yeah, I think that would be a great show within itself.
No, we'd love to be back.
We talk on this show about how we want to educate producers and consumers,
right.
And that's the flip side of that. We have to spend time talking about them as well. So, one, like I said a minute ago, one doesn't exist without the other.
Exactly.
So, you know, we always get to that point in our show where we like to get towards wrapping things up, and we do that with a timely tip. And we thought a good timely tip for this week would be to support your local pork producers. Wherever you are in the state of Kentucky or any other state, you more than likely have pork producers around. You may be a pork producer, and you can be involved in your local association, your state association, but you may be a consumer as well.
Yep.
And supporting the pork industry may be on one side of the table, making sure that you're supplying that safe, efficient, cost-effective food product for a consumer to use. On a consumer side, it may be, you know, buying that pork burger or pork chop from the local fair booth.
Yep.
But we felt like getting involved is something that all of our commodity groups need to do.
Oh, yeah, most certainly. You know, whenever I think about the best way you can support a local pork producer, you know, if you are a pork producer yourself, one way to help your fellow producers or get involved in some of these health programs that we have coming out. But I think more importantly, if you're a consumer or if you live in rural Kentucky and aren't raising hogs and you've got a neighbor who's thinking about putting some hog barns in, go and visit them. Go talk to them. Learn more about it. Don't be afraid to ask questions, and learn about the whole sustainability story behind those barns, and really learn about the economic impact that they're going to have on your local community. Because you know they're buying fuel, they're going to the grocery store there. It's all sorts of things. But one of the easiest ways really is just buy pork. If you're ordering something from HelloFresh, click on a pork dish. If you're going to Kroger or wherever it might be, should step outside that comfort zone and really challenge yourself to try something new.
And I would encourage you to check out your farmers markets, because you've got folks in farmers markets that are selling those pork
cuts.
I know in Webster County we have one that's selling pork cuts, and we have one that sells beef, and they do. They both do a great job, and if they get that customer one time, they're coming back.
Talk about just a great way. If you want that true connection to your farmer, that's a great way to do it, is going to those farmers markets, certainly.
Absolutely.
Sounds great. Our guest today was Miss Nikki Ellis, Executive Director with the Kentucky Pork Producers. Your website is kentuckypork.org. That's kypork.org.
Yes, sir.
Any better way to get a hold of you if they need you?
Just get on that website, and all of our communications pieces are on there. It'll shoot you to all of our social media, but also our direct contacts for me and the rest of my staff.
Awesome. Again, that website was kypork.org. Well, we want to thank you, Nikki, for being our guest today and for this week's information. And thanks to our listeners for joining in. We hope you've enjoyed our show, and we'll make plans to join us again next week. And until then, remember, Kentucky Ag matters.